Welcome back to Animation Deliberation. It's the podcast where we take action, animation, and cartoons seriously, but not too seriously. On this special episode, we're covering Disney Plus's The Simpsons, The Good, The Bart, and The Loki, and joining us is special guest Melissa Khalil. We're going to get right into that right after these ads. Sing along if you know the words. A 1, 2, 3, it's time for Animation Deliberation. A conversation and a celebration of our favorite action animated series. Yeah.
Dope!
Welcome back, folks. It's Animation Deliberation. I'm your host, J. Scotty St. Clair, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, the man you heard hopping in there at the end of the song, Mr. Zuhair Ali. Zuhair, what's up? How you doing, buddy?
Doing pretty good.
Good, good. And as I stated at the top of the episode, we have a very special guest joining us today. Our resident Simpsons expert, Melissa Khalil. Melissa, good to have you. How are you? Thanks for being here.
Hello. Thank you for having me. It's good to be here. I've never been on Animation Deliberation before, so I'm very excited.
Yeah. We're still a relatively new show, but we are a part of the Stranded Panda Network, and you are definitely a driving force for the network in terms of the trivia questions. I know you have a TikTok that you drive, so definitely excited to get your voice on the show and give you the opportunity to highlight some of the things that you're doing for the network.
Aw, thanks.
Yeah, of course. So we are covering this Disney short, this crossover between a long-standing animated series that I'm sure everybody's familiar with, The Simpsons, plus one of our favorite franchises out there. It's kind of nice to get this synergy with Disney, you know, buying up everything out there. It's nice that we can kind of celebrate the monopoly that's going on in ways like this. So what did you guys think about the short? Just initial impressions.
It was short. It was a lot shorter than I expected it to be. I mean, I kind of just watch Simpsons in passing.
Yeah.
And it just happens to be on. It's not something I've like really dwelled into.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the ones that I really love was a Star Wars crossover. So when I heard about it, I was expecting like at least an hour movie.
Oh, okay.
And then when somebody mentioned it was only 6 minutes, I was like, oh, this will be quick.
Yeah.
It was entertaining enough that I wanted a little bit more, but it was pretty hilarious with whatever they did drop in.
Yeah, I had not seen the previous Disney Plus short that they did for Star Wars. I think that was called The Force Awakens.
Like The Nap Awakens. It was something with Maggie. I forget.
I think I've got it here. What was it?
Well, it wasn't even that one. I'm talking about the crossover from like 10 some years ago.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about The Force Awakens from its nap, and I was going to ask if either of you guys had seen that.
Oh, wow. I'm dumb. I'm getting it mixed up with Family Guy. Never mind. Ignore me.
Oh, no. You're good. I think that's an easy comparison to make. It's a good opportunity to kind of talk about our exposure to, you know, The Simpsons and whatnot. I very much am more exposed to Family Guy myself, and obviously, I'd seen the crossover they did with Star Wars in years past and whatnot, but The Simpsons has always been around. It's like going on like its 31st season now, and the only reason I know that is because it debuted like a month before I was born, so it's always kind of been in the ether there. But I myself have kind of an aversion to The Simpsons because I had two fictional characters that scared the crap out of me and traumatized me as a child, and one of those was Tim Curry's version of Pennywise from the TV movie from the 90s, and then the other one was Sideshow Bob from The Simpsons, who was voiced by Kelsey Grammer. So
That's very fair.
Now, Melissa, The Simpsons is one of your favorite animated shows, right? You might not be the biggest animated fan, is that fair to say?
I think so. Like, The Simpsons is just one of those, like, comfort shows mm-hmm. that I will always just have on in the background. Or if there's, like, you know, a point in time where I just want to, like, watch something and kind of turn my brain off, The Simpsons is one of those shows. So,
okay. Yeah.
I want the audience to know that we were doing SpongeBob impressions before recording. So take her dismay for animation very loosely.
It's a classic, though. You can't dislike SpongeBob.
Yeah, when I say dismay, it's kind of... It's tough to get around because I don't mean to say you don't like animation, but there is a stigma when it comes to animation. Not everybody seeks out, you know, animation first and foremost, and there's nothing wrong with that, but just you know, on this podcast, we obviously really celebrate animated stuff, so.
Mm-hmm. And we always celebrate Marvel stuff.
Yeah, true that, true that. We are big Marvel people here. Do you have a favorite character from The Simpsons, Melissa? And did they make an appearance in this short?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm always a big fan of Lisa.
Ooh, okay.
I feel like I just connect with Lisa the best.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, she's not the most fun character.
Okay.
But, like, everything she says, I just, like, relate to. So I love that she was Thor in this mm-hmm. short.
Yeah, that was great.
And I love that she was worthy, because, like, everything Lisa does is just, like, for the good, you know, like, for the good of the planet, for good of other people, you know, like, Lisa's very, you know, I don't know what I'm
trying to say. She's Captain Springfield.
She's Captain Springfield. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but Lisa's just a good person, and I really admire that about her, so I'm very glad that she was worthy enough to wield Mjolnir.
Yeah, I loved when she inherited the power of Thor and was flying off across the sky, and she's like, goodbye, self-esteem issues forever.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, yeah. Good stuff. Good
stuff. I have a feeling all of us appreciated that line.
Oh, yeah.
Right. It's like, I mean, honestly, if I, like, you know, hulked out and all of a sudden gained a ton of muscle and could fly, like, mm-hmm. that's what I'd be thinking, too. Like,
mm-hmm. 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 Well, you talk about hulking out, and we got, you know, that great moment with, I believe the character's name is Ralph, but they recreated that moment from 2012 Avengers, where it's always been one of my favorite moments of the MCU. It still always gets an audible laugh out of me, but when, you know, Hulk slammed Loki and said, puny god. So, I appreciated the fact that the short was very short, but it was a very self-contained and a very Loki story. He's the trickster god, and from what I know about the character of Bart, he is very much that trickster as well. You know, eat my Asgardian leather shorts or what have you. So given how short the episode was, I did appreciate that they continued to mock the MCU, even with, like, the post-credit scenes. And then we had, like, the animated, like, painted backgrounds while the credits were, like, scrolling through. Did you guys have any standout characters there? We got a lot of cameos. Like, not everybody even got speaking roles, but we got to see a lot of stuff going on in the background.
I think the treehouse being Groot was my favorite.
Nice, good call.
Ooh, that was a good one. I loved the WandaVision callback with the Van Houtens.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's like
cool.
The Mr. and Mrs. Van Houten being Wanda and Vision as Maggie's just, like, bored watching it on the couch.
Yeah, yeah.
Love that.
Yeah, good call. And that's actually, I'm glad you bring that up too, because that made me appreciate the fact that they had that scene with Renslayer. When it comes to animated stuff, even when it's a little more stylized and simple, like the Simpsons or Rick and Morty or Family Guy, it still takes a lot of time to make it happen. So that really speaks to the level of collaboration that had to be going on behind the scenes in order to... They had all the backgrounds, right? They even had, like, you know, the timekeeper shifting faces set up behind Renslayer, and I just love the meta nature of that joke. Like, she basically acknowledges the fact that this very much could be the Loki that we're seeing in that series, just having crossed over to this variant timeline of Disney Plus or what have you.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, I noticed that too, and I wanted to talk to you guys about that as well, because that episode of Loki was only, what, like a month ago that first episode came out, and, like, with Renslayer being the, you know, judge, where she's kind of prosecuting Loki, like, I,
mm-hmm.
I like
5 weeks ago, so yeah,
like, that's not a whole lot of time to make even a, you know, 90-second cutscene like that was.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So I'm pretty impressed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I do believe that Tom Hiddleston was the only voice actor from, you know, the MCU forthright to reprise his role. I don't think Gugu Mbatha Raw was doing the voice of Renslayer. Oh, okay, it was Don Lewis.
He was doing such a good job, too, especially when he was, like, mocking Odin and Thor. So, like, you see, like, the range of his voice acting ability as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, she's an American actress best known for her role as Jaleesa Vincent Taylor on A Different World. But not super familiar with her work outside of that. Or are you talking about Loki?
I was talking about Tom Hiddleston mocking Odin and Thor at the beginning of the episode.
Gotcha. Yeah, and that was just a great trope there, too.
But yeah, I had to write down all the things that he was on trial for because it just made me laugh so hard the first time. It was so meta.
What you
got? Philosophically opposing predeterminism.
Uh-huh.
Crossing over into forbidden areas of Disney Plus. Lost it on that one.
Mm.
Taking two spots in the Goofy parking lot. Being more popular than all the other heroes. A lot of people have said that. having a British accent when you're supposed to be from Norway. Promising to be good and breaking your promise a zillion times. Making us sit through numerous end credit scenes hoping they advance the story, which we had two end credit scenes in this one.
Mm-hmm.
And will you please wash your nasty hair?
I love the making us sit through post-credit scenes hoping they advance the story, because I was thinking the same thing, because like the main part of the episode was really only like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And like that got done where Lisa flung Bart, Loki, into the sky, and I was like, oh, is this it? Like, was this the short? And then watching the credits, there was like 3 credit scenes.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, this is an odd format, so I'm really happy that they just acknowledged it, as The Simpsons usually does in that sort of meta way.
Yeah.
And it's something that MCU has done as well, like at the end of Iron Man 3, when it was just that silly therapy session. At the end of Spider-Man Homecoming, where Cap gives, like, the whole thing about patience.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that, like, is kind of common between both these areas of, like, we know you're going to wait, and we're going to have fun with this now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, the short, its nature was very tongue-in-cheek, and that speaks to the humorous nature of The Simpsons. And, Melissa, you talked about The Simpsons kind of being, like, a comfort show for you. But I have to ask, I really haven't paid as much attention to it in recent years. Does it have like a strong I'm trying to think of the right way of putting this, but does it often have, like, you know, I don't want to say a political message, but, you know, a larger message at play? Because I couldn't help but notice one of the post-credit scenes that we didn't really highlight on is when Loki's being the bartender, when he's imitating Mo, and then basically has his speech about how, you know, the glass bottles are ruining the planet. And then earlier on, when he duplicated the pork chop for Homer, they kind of made allusions to how terrible this is for the environment. So it just kind of made me wonder, as much as we're getting laughs and stuff like that, there is that little bit of through line that makes you think a little bit. Is that something The Simpsons often does?
Oh, 1,000%. Okay, yeah. Cool. And I think that's one of the reasons I love it, because it's, you know, got that real world connection, but it does it in, you know, a humorous way, but it also still makes you think about the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's one of the reasons I love Lisa. Like, I'll be honest, we share, you know, a very similar political view.
Sure.
And like that scene with Loki being Mo talking about your planet dying, I was like, I've never related to Loki more than this moment right now. Being like, this beer sucks and your planet is dying.
Yeah, that's a glorious purpose we can get behind.
Mm-hmm.
Works for me.
All right, well, as far as the short goes, I think I've covered everything that I wanted to highlight on, unless you guys had any other standout moments, any standout jokes, any of the characters in the background that you wanted to make mention of. Now's your time.
Oh, I had a background one.
Okay.
What on earth was Flanders doing in his Ant-Man suit?
Oh, I
like
loved
his
that.
His butt was really defined in that, in the way that he was posing.
He's wearing nothing at all. Nothing at all. I don't. Have you seen that episode? It's like a really, I think that's got to be like season 10 of The Simpsons, where Flanders is skiing in a really tight, like, ski suit.
Okay.
And like his butt is just bulging out of the back.
Okay. And like, so was it a callback to that?
I
think so, because I noticed it. I like noticed it. Was like, is that like a callback? And now that you mention it, with his, like, you know, butt bulging out the back, I was like, I think that's what they were going for. Like that scene from 20 years ago, where, you know, Homer is just like stupid sexy Flanders because he can't get the image of Flanders in his skin tight snowsuit out of his head.
That's awesome.
All right, so we've got America's ass and Flanders ass are canon in the MCU now. I like it.
as it should be.
I love that it's Ant-Man, too, like the person who said the line about America's ass.
Look at that connection.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
And then the only one that looked like he was, like, serious in that montage was, I'm forgetting what Bart's friend's name is with the glasses.
Milhouse.
Yeah. Milhouse. I like how he's the nerd, and they put him as Hawkeye, who's, like, stereotypically the useless character. But he was the only one that had, like, this face of determination on there. I was like, that's appropriate, I guess.
Yeah. There were a few characters I noticed in that, like, whole assemble kind of moment, where I was like, I've not seen a connection between some of these, like, Simpsons characters and the heroes they put for them. Like,
Okay. Who you got?
Like, Agnes Skinner was Black Widow.
Okay.
Like, Mo was Vision. Interesting. That was an odd one to me.
Yeah.
Barney is Iron Man.
Well, for that one, I think it's the alcoholism, because in the comics, Tony Stark has a whole demon-in-the-bottle storyline, so I think they're kind of giving a little bit of a nod there.
Fair.
It's been plus his armor popping off of his gut was wonderful.
Oh, it was. Then him hanging it up on the clothesline in the credits.
Yeah. I've got this still of the comic book guy as Thanos, and I'm looking at some of the characters in the background. Who's Doctor Strange? Is that the like the dentist character?
Oh, Dr. Nick.
Oh, is that Dr. Nick? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense then. Doctor.
I don't know about that scene in the credits. I know in the, like, assemble kind of moment, that was Dr. Nick.
Okay. It does look like it's Dr. Nick now that I'm looking at it. And I didn't realize now that I'm looking at it, they're all actually being dusted away.
Yeah, one's being saved. So knowing comic book guy, he probably just dusted everybody.
Yeah, it seems that way. I'm trying to think, what's his best wish ever? Or whatever. Or worst power glove ever. I don't know the Simpsons well enough. I know that was kind of his little thing, right?
It is, yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay.
I wrecked my pants in a whole new way.
Oh, Ralph.
Dude, him throwing Loki around and just being like a squeak toy the whole time was hilarious. Just,
Yeah.
After hearing the Hulk's, like, aggression and then just going to the squeak toy, I was like, what is going on right now?
And
privacy, please.
And I love Ralph's line, just being like, you're not nice. Like, it's such a Ralph line, and then he just hulks out.
Yeah.
It's like the Simpsons version of the Hulk, and I love it.
Yeah. Very good. I hope they do more. Like you said, it definitely left me wanting to see more, so it's the synergy works. I'm already, you know, completely bought into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. This makes me kind of want to go back and revisit The Simpsons, despite any childhood trauma. I think I can overcome it.
You're a big boy now.
Okay. Well, with that conversation out of the way, I did want to, you know, use this opportunity. We've got Melissa on here, and I kind of highlighted some of the things she's working on at the top of the episode, but Melissa, I open the floor up to you to let us know what you have going on in the network, you know, as far as trivia goes, or can we expect to see any the good, the Bart, and the Loki bonus questions?
Ooh, probably not. Aww. Considering any time we ever put any non-MCU questions in trivia, it becomes a big old gate, as I'm sure anyone who's attended trivia has noticed. So.
Okay.
Well, there's that one loser that always gets double overtime, so you could probably mess with him by throwing those questions in there. Just a suggestion.
Yeah, that zoo guy. I don't know who he is, but I mean,
he's a real, it's a little embarrassing. Yeah. So that's on twitch.tv/strandedpandatv. We do that Wednesday nights at 7 Central. Usually some music starts, and then Trivial will start around 7:30 normally, and Melissa appears with the guys from the MCU cast, or the host from the MCU cast, I should say. Ash is there as well. And then you also recently were working on the TikTok to do the 100 Days of Thirst for Chris Evans, a.k.a. Captain America. Do you want to talk a little bit about that and the success there and maybe any future campaigns you have coming up?
Sure. So like Scotty said, we just finished up the 100 Days of Thirsting Over Chris Evans, and those videos are all still up. So prep yourself for a marathon of videos if you haven't seen any of those. It's a ton of fun. Nothing specifically planned for TikTok right now. Okay. I mean, just posting more MCU-related videos as they kind of come to my brain. I know I posted a Black Widow one the night before that came out a couple days ago. So check out the TikTok. There's always some fun stuff going on there. I know Matt does a lot of theory videos too, which are super awesome. So
cool.
At Stranded Panda on TikTok. Give us a follow, some likes. It's a ton of fun.
Very cool.
Hey, can I ask a question while I have both of you on here?
Of course.
What'd you all think of the What If trailer real quick?
Ooh, yeah, actually, I'm glad you asked that. I was already incredibly excited for What If, but now that we have a release date, a concrete date, and they dropped the trailer, you know, like, they gave us a month's notice, and I couldn't be more excited. It looks absolutely incredible.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I agree. Like, obviously, you guys are the animation experts, but watching it, I was like, the animation just in the trailer was incredible.
Yeah.
It looks so good.
Like, it looks so good, and the way that, like, they made the characters look like the characters from the movies was outstanding. Like, how Tony Stark looked in the animation.
Right.
Exactly like he looks in the movies.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah, it's a really interesting technique. It really kind of reminds me of that classic Disney style meets the live action, especially when they had that close up of Thor. Kind of, I can't remember exactly what his line was, but it's he gives that oafish kind of lovable dumb guy line about, oh, explain it for everyone else. Of course I know, but just like really good detail on the face there. I'm sound like a broken record here, but I'm so excited for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's going to be a bittersweet feeling of hearing Chadwick Boseman's last performance.
Ooh,
as well.
Correct, yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
He had, like, the one line in the trailer. I think it was the last line of the trailer, too, wasn't it?
I think so.
But it was just like, oh, that's a heartbreaker. Because that doesn't seem like that long ago, but I think we're coming up on almost a year of his passing.
I believe so.
If not over a year.
Is it?
I think it was August, if I'm not mistaken, but don't.
Okay. It's just like, oh, it still hurts. It still hurts. Oh, I'm not prepared for whatever episode
he's in.
Yeah,
August 2020.
Yeah. Whatever, you said it perfectly. It is bittersweet. I mean, as sad as his passing is, I do kind of cherish and relish the fact that we do get this final performance from him. And he obviously has a huge body of work that everyone should go out and seek all the things he did, but obviously here T'Challa was one of the ones that spoke to so many people, myself included, so glad to see that performance once more and in an entirely new context. That's what's great about What If.
MCU fantasy is going to be rough during this show.
Oh, good luck to the sucker who's running that.
I'm going to get so many hate messages.
Congrats
to
the
this guy.
Congrats to the competitor that's completely crushing everyone else on my particular team or league, I should say.
Are we in the same league, Scotty?
Yeah.
I forget.
We
okay.
are. Yeah.
Well, no one's in my same league.
That's very true. You're completely right about that. You're in a league of your own.
You may be in my league, but you're not in my league.
It's a good time.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
This was fun. Thanks, guys, for being here. I'll go ahead and wrap it up. Thanks for tuning in. That's TOONIN.
Stay whelmed.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Animation Deliberation Podcast, a proud member of the Stranded Panda Network. If you would like to contact us, you can email animationdeliberationpodcast@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter at @animationdelib1. For this and other great shows, you can visit strandedpanda.com or join the great community that is the Stranded Panda Chat Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/svchat. Tune in next time, and remember, stay whelmed.